You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome again, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Dave Raymond, and as always, joined by Mark Sheldon. And Mark, as we come off that first full weekend of the regular season, you'd be hard-pressed really to know or consider it the first full week of the season. I mean, sparks were flying. It was a little spicy there in Cincinnati over the weekend.
Yeah, it kind of was. The series got away from the Reds. There was a little frustration, especially on Sunday. There was one inning in particular that really got out of hand as far as there was it looked like a hit batter that wasn't. Brian Price gets ejected. There was a replay that went against the Reds. And, of course, a couple of innings earlier, there was some unhappiness about a slide in Todd Frazier by Jason Hayward. So, really, in a half a game alone, we had a weekend worth of events going on.
Yeah, no doubt. With Brian Price, though, on that ejection, I mean, he could have challenged the call, but didn't. It seemed like he was going to argue until the ultimate eventuality of him getting ejected. Was that his intent going out there? I guess I was a little confused over why he didn't just challenge it if he felt that strongly.
Yeah, that's what Joe West had asked him, and what Brian basically said was he didn't feel like he should have to challenge that if the umpire missed the call that the guy wasn't hit by a pitch, because he said that nobody on the field signaled a hit by a pitch, the runner just took the base. He's like, well, if he wasn't hit by a pitch, then it's up to the Cardinals to challenge, and he felt like, okay, it should have been a ball in the dirt. If the Cardinals see it differently, let the Cardinals challenge it. Brian didn't think that was the spot where he had a challenge, and it kind of went back and forth, and finally Joe West gave him the ejection based on a delay of game situation.
So that was the ultimate decision, was it was a delay of game, no magic words or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, Brian had argued for at length with Kerwin Danley behind the plate, and Joe West came over, and it escalated once West came over, to be honest with you, but it got to the point where he's like, make your decision, challenge or no challenge. And Brian didn't feel like he should challenge, and he got run.
So the first place Cincinnati Reds, by the way, I should have mentioned that at the top of this. This is the division leading Cincinnati Reds as we head into week two. But as I mentioned, it did get a little feisty, whether it was Price getting ejected. There was the other controversial replay call. I love the fact that replay, by the way, it still does not remove any of the ambiguity or the human element in this thing, because here we have two calls, that remain at controversy, I guess, even after the games are over.
Yeah, on the second one with the replay, I guess what it came down to, and when you mentioned ambiguity, is Molina drops a sacrifice bunt attempt. Mesoraco picks up the ball. The umpire did not see the tag. The ball touching Molina's leg or wherever. So as far as Todd Frazier was concerned, it was a forced play on at third base. So when Mesoraco threw the ball to him, he just touched the bag and then threw to first for what seemed to be a double play. And Matheny from the Cardinals made a heads-up move, or as people did, say, hey, Mesoraco actually did apply the tag, so that means the forced play was off and Frazier didn't tag the runner at third. So in a sense, they were obviously conceding the out for Molina, which is what they wanted anyway, and they got to keep the runner on second and third, and which ended up, being a tough inning for them. But ultimately, it was a weird replay situation, and ambiguous. Jay Bell, who's now the acting manager at that time, Brian was already gone, went out to argue a couple times, and that's what they were left with. There's really nothing else they could do.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, and it's funny because Price, in reading your story, he was pretty straightforward about it. I get the sense he doesn't particularly care for replay, and I think it does sort of beg the question, if you can't really get all of these right, why don't we just go back to limiting it to boundary calls?
As you know, those are decisions that are made way above our pay grade, and other people make those decisions. I don't know. I mean, I know that Brian has definitely not been the most thrilled with the way the replay thing has gone through year one, and maybe I don't know how he's going to feel about year two. At least the one thing that is good is they've eliminated the kind of so-called meandering walk, to stall time. I think eliminating that's going to be a big help. But as far as how the decisions they make about when, what to challenge and when to challenge, I don't know what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, do you think there's going to be – it's kind of fun that St. Louis is, you know, going to be rematched again next weekend because of, you know, Hayward's slide into Todd Frazier. That didn't seem to sit well with the Reds. Was there additional conversation afterward about that and about the ongoing tension between the two clubs?
Yeah, a TV reporter, I kind of followed up when Brian brought up the Hayward slide, and the TV reporter kind of jumped to – he had to jump to conclusions, Matt, out, and he sort of said, does this mean you think the Cardinals are a dirty team? And Brian was very quick to put that fire out, and like he said no like 12 times, and he said he did not think the Cardinals were a dirty team, nor did he think Jason Hayward was a dirty player. He just said on that particular moment, on that particular play, that particular slide was not a good baseball slide. It was spikes up. It was short to the base. It was late. He didn't like the play. He thinks it should be addressed the next time the two teams play each other, which is obviously, you know, very soon after the Reds play the Cubs. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if there's a certain pitch, a certain slide. We'll never know. The Cardinals and Reds obviously have some bad blood from 2010. I think that bad blood is over with as far as, you know, I know Molina and Phillips have squashed that a long time ago, and they're not – they don't hate each other, but then, you know, it's just the Reds and the Cardinals, and the Reds have gotten beaten by the Cardinals handily the last decade plus now, and it's just a very big frustration on their part.
Yeah. Well, it made for an interesting weekend, and I know Reds fans can't be happy to have dropped 2 out of 3 in that series, but sitting atop the division after the first week, going to Chicago and then St. Louis this week represents another big week. A lot of interdivision games to start the year for the Reds. Do they feel like that works to their advantage, or is that just a scheduling quirk that they feel like they have to deal with?
Well, it's a huge test. It's 22. Their first 22 games are in the division. 9 of the first 12 games are either against Pittsburgh or St. Louis. So it's a huge test. Brian earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, what kind of welcomed the challenge. He wasn't afraid of it. If the team gets off to a good start like it so far has, it'll be to their benefit. But if they were to somehow start off in tank or have a bad run, you could find yourself playing from a deficit right away in the first month of the season being several games out, and that's just not a good way to play. You know, you want to be the team wants to be confident. The team is confident. I definitely noticed, especially offensively, they really are humming along really well, and there seems to be a lot of confidence in the hitting. The starting pitching, for the most part, has been pretty good. Aroldis Chapman's been pretty good, and a couple of guys in the bullpen have. They have some other bullpen issues to work out, but there's still a lot of confidence, and the 4-2 start certainly seems to be, you know, a good boost for them.
Well, to your point, only one team in the National League with more home runs right now, that would be the Dodgers. 9 home runs for Cincinnati for the first week of the season, and this is a team that struggled, you know, uncharacteristically offensively last year. I'm sure it was just fun for them to treat Great American Ballpark the way, you know, it had been treated for so many years prior.
Well, I think it's also for them, they got the meat of their order, so to speak, back. Joey Votto has looked very good. He looks healthy. His knee, his quad is back to normal, it would seem like. He's formed a very good spot in the lineup, now batting second behind Billy Hamilton, who's getting on base ahead of him and really just creating a lot of situations for the two of them. And then Todd Frazier behind them in the three hole has also been working pretty well. So I think they found a lineup scenario that they like. It seems to be going and flowing pretty well. And having Votto back and hitting well is certainly the boost that they needed. It was the most critical thing they had kind of hinging on their season and on their chances, in my opinion, going into this year.
A couple things, though. You know, another positive that came out of the weekend, Raisel Iglesias, you know, the young man really acquitted himself quite well in his first start. Homer Bailey expected to maybe return this week. What is the status of Iglesias? Will he stay with Cincinnati, maybe move to the pen? Do they send him down to start? Where's he?
Well, I have a feeling by the time this podcast posts, we will have the answer to that question sometime later today. I don't know the honest. It could go either way. They could either have him start in Louisville and be a starter there and continue to get groomed. He's going to have an innings cap no matter what. So that on the other hand, they could use that to their advantage and just make him a major league reliever. They are paying him a lot of money, so that he could get his, you know, his limited innings as a long reliever up here at the big league level. So there's a couple of different ways they can go. I don't see him starting another game for the Reds, at least in the near future with Bailey coming back. I think Bailey is, from what I can gather, is ready. He had his 91-pitch, 5 2/3 inning start on Louisville on Sunday. So I haven't heard anything that bad happened down there. I'm sure we'll find more out today. But I would expect him to be the next guy to start in Iglesias' spot.
Okay, well, we'll see how it works out. And, of course, it'll be interesting to watch this week with the Cubs and Cardinals, a little road test for the Reds. Mark Sheldon, thanks so much again for the time. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.